They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Today, plausibly live, it's the ZabeCast.
We'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and DC Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Polin.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go.
Oh, and do we have a lot to get to on this Monday edition of the ZabeCast. Week 7 in the NFL, almost in the books. The Commanders put a whooping on the Panthers. Oh, and we have a major coach quitting in college basketball over NIL. And a lot more, including a terrible precedent in college football over not quite instant replay, because what happened in the Texas-Georgia game was technically not replay. However, I'm here to say that old thing was born as Satan's spawn of the notion of, well, we got to get the call right. Andy Polin is ready to go, feeling absolutely delighted, I'm sure, with his Commanders, who put a whooping on Carolina, even with Jaden Daniels leaving the game with a rib injury. Hi, Andy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Team's 5-2. All is good. Now, you know, there is concern about Jaden Daniels, but I think, ironically, he suffered the same injury that Darryl Green did.
Get out.
Returning that punt in the Chicago game. And I think he did it not on the play where he went down, but on the play where he ran for 46 yards early in the game. I think that's where it happened. I don't think he was even hit. I think he just twisted wrong.
Oh, the irony that he would do that on Darryl Green Day with the Commanders after he was given a key to the city. Old number 28, our former friend and colleague, as he did a weekly radio show with us back in the day, the 20-year freak of nature playing corner in the NFL for two decades and rarely missing a game.
Yeah, we did a show the last 2 years that he played. And I thought, you know, now he didn't make the kind of money that they make now, But retroactively, he ought to pay you back for all the Auntie Anne's pretzels you bought him at the mall, don't you think?
He owes me nothing. The fact that he was just so nice and treated me like a regular guy, and like he would give me shit, and that's what I loved.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about Darryl Green. That made me feel like he looked at me as somebody who was a peer, and so he wasn't going to treat me with kid gloves. So that was a good time. I was very happy to see that for Darryl, and obviously happy to see your Commanders putting a whooping down, 3-0 at home now. There's all kinds of metrics for this is the first time since, .. first time since that, .. But all eyes on Jaden Daniels. How bad do you think it is?
I don't think it's bad. I would not be shocked if he plays next week. Now, I'm not a doctor, but he came out on the field in the second half in street clothes and saw them score a touchdown. And he raised both arms in the air pretty easily. Now, it would seem to me, if you have broken ribs, that's not easy to do. So that's probably a good sign.
Probably a hopeful sign. I did love how listening to the broadcast, and oh, by the way, the Iron Eagle Charles Davis crew is the best in football.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's not even close. And that's no offense to other booths that I have come to like. And suffer. I'll suffer through Aikman because Buck is that good. I think Romo is kind of played and jaded, but obviously I'm still a Nance guy. But what I realized today about Ian Eagle, it's not just the crispness of his calls and the perfection of the amount of oomph he'll give to the big plays. He weaves in anecdotes better than anyone else. Stuff that he's gleaned throughout the week. Things like, oh, Jaden Daniels and Bryce Young, who did not get in the game. Or did he at the end?
At the end, yeah, mop up.
Okay, mop up duty. That Jaden Daniels and Bryce Young are great friends from back in high school. And they played against each other. And that they talked to each other at least once a week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Daniel said that during his news conference during the week, but the fact that he is prepared for those things is good. No
question. Eagle can weave that in with such efficiency and minimal amount of verbiage in between great play-by-play calls.
Not only that, you know, I like Nance a lot, but Nance has this gravity to him that sometimes is a little much if it's not a Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Eagle has like this great like feel for it's a ball game, you know, and it's in the grand scheme of life, it's not that important.
Yes.
So he has that. And I think he does that very, very well.
Ian Eagle has a mischievousness to him that is fun to listen to. And he does not take himself too seriously. The game ain't about him. And he is phenomenal. And Charles Davis makes, I think, excellent analyst points. And he's not have crutches that he leans on like Aikman to say, good job, great job, heck of a job, 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 all the way home. He tries to say, here's why this happened.
Yeah, he only suffers from being not a Super Bowl quarterback. And those are the guys that get all the money. And, you know, I mean, I don't really watch many of the national games because the Commanders are sometimes up against them. But I didn't hear anything from Brady that, you know, said $37.5 million to me.
Right as I cracked open the phone to call you, I see your tweet. Says Brady just told us that Brock Purdy's pass being intercepted in the end zone is, quote, way worse than an incompletion. I can see why that's worth $37.5 million.
Right.
Did Brady really fucking say that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Go back to the tape. It's word for word. You know?
Of course it's worse.
You know what it is?
A pick in the end zone's maybe the worst throw a quarterback can make.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing about ex-players. Yeah, maybe they watch Monday Night Football sometimes, but they're playing.
I know.
So they're not like us. They're not usually subjected to 7 hours of football or more every Sunday. So these are new things to them.
Yeah.
You know? So they think, oh, we're shedding light on this, that an interception is worse than an incompletion. Wow. I didn't know that. You know?
Yeah. All right. So I want to start with this. So how's Andy doing? That's a question I get from family members, friends, others that have not heard you lately, or just kindly want to know how you're doing. And so my answer to them, and this is where you can tell me if I'm off base at all, my answer is always, he's fucking fabulous, as he always is. He is living within his means. He keeps his expectations low. He has things that he likes to do, but does not bog himself down with shit that is not enjoyable or a waste of time or money. And he is living his best life and still doing radio on a station that, okay, not as much money, not as high profile as we used to enjoy, maybe not as many free lunches or junkets, but you know what? It's work, and you're happy doing it, and you put in a pros pro effort every damn day. Did I nail it? How did I do?
Pretty accurate. Yeah.
Good.
And yeah, it is a low profile station. It's the dying days of AM radio. But you and I have worked with the meddling program directors. Oh. I don't get anything.
Right.
Nothing. They let me do my thing, and I'm out the door at 11 o'clock every day. Yeah. Everybody's fine with what I do. The GM likes what I do. He's very friendly whenever I see him. So, yeah, I mean, and I've reached the point, thank God, in life where I don't have to work. I'm a grandfather. I have a married yep. daughter, a son who is legally married and is about to have a big shindig marriage in Cabo mm-hmm. in a couple of weeks. And, I've reached the stage of life where I'm comfortable, very, very comfortable.
But I think you've been in this for a while. I think you have lived a life of cruising altitude, which is a beautiful thing. I look to you often as an aspiration. Because I still chase too many shiny objects. I seek happiness in things that are not going to give me happiness. And I need to find more of a simple life like you yeah. have carved out for yourself. Well, you know, some would say it's a rut, but I always say one man's rut is another man's groove.
I've quoted you on that quite often. Now you will think of what I did yesterday as kind of dull, but for me, it was quite satisfying. And quite fun.
What'd you do?
I rode my bike to the station, which is located in Friendship Heights. I left it at the station. I got on the metro, and I went down, and I watched Daryl Green's presentation of the Key to the City. And then I walked around on a gorgeous day downtown.
Oh my God, dude. I played golf on Saturday, and yeah. I just couldn't believe how nice it was. I saw a tweet from some weather account that showed the radar of the U.S. and they said, take a look at this radar. There is not a cloud in the sky east of the Mississippi,
wow.
except for this small disturbance down in the panhandle of Florida. That was it. That's the monster high pressure dome that is over us right now. And it's unbelievable. So yes, Saturday was the weather day of the year, and Sunday was every bit as good as well. I would say both in the Mid-Atlantic, but also in the Upper Midwest and the Rust Belt and New England. I mean, the high pressure gave the entire east half of the U.S. an amazing fucking weekend. Okay,
it really.
So you
was,
rode
yes.
your bike downtown, and you walked mm-hmm. around. You saw Daryl Green and his ceremony. Did you get to say hi to him?
I didn't. He was
swamped,
of course, surrounded by people. But
yes.
I did see a couple of people that I knew. The only ex-player or teammate who spoke was Brian Mitchell. He was good. He was short. that was nice. Mitch Rales, one of the owners of the team, like the number two owner, I guess you'd say, gave a speech, which is, you know, to me, you came to the station, I guess, after they sold it. But he and his brother were the original owners of the station. And I got to know them as we launched it in 1992. And what I found out about them is they don't like anybody to know their business, you know. So they were not really public. But I'm very surprised now in his role that he seems to be quite comfortable giving speeches and engaging with the fans. And he was excellent.
Well, yeah, very good. Yeah. Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie. All right, let's back up from the weekend just a bit, and we'll get through some things here. Juan fucking Soto in Cleveland sends the Yankees through to the World Series with an at-bat for the ages, in which he just fouls off breaking pitch after slider after changeup to wait and wait and wait till he got his fastball, and he fucking parked it. He's 25 years old. He bet on himself with a one-year deal at $31 million from the Yankees. Somebody's going to put in front of him a Shohei Ohtani-like size contract, and he's probably going to be worth every penny.
I was thinking that at-bat itself might have been worth $50 to $60 million, maybe more.
I guess, but he was already going to make a ton of money.
But right now the mark is 700. I don't think he'll get to 700. I'm not sure he'll get to 600. But
well,
I
that's
think he
the
inches
key.
Closer to right. 600 with something like that.
Yeah. Like, that's the key question. So you can say, well, you know, give him the Ohtani contract. Ohtani is presumably going to come back and pitch next year once right. this Tommy John things get settled. By the way, the Dodger game about to start in L.A. on this late Sunday night, opposite of football. It's a clinching potential game for the Dodgers, and it's going to get crushed by Sunday night football. Am I right? With the Steelers and the Jets? Rodgers against Tomlin company and the return of Russ Wilson.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, partly baseball's fault, but yes, yeah. That's the case. Yeah.
Okay. So Soto had his moment. The Yankees are through. I saw a great tweet from somebody that said, teaching your kid about Major League Baseball and becoming a fan is a perfect lesson for life. It tells your kid at an early age that eventually money and evil always prevail.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, this is nothing new, but here we are on the verge of a Yankee-Dodger World Series.
I don't know, and I know you're going to rip me for this, but
you
I'm
like
happy
it.
With I yeah, because you used to get on me about the Lakers. There is something about
Lakers, everything. The sport's better when the big markets are thriving.
Yeah, and the you know the two of the most memorable World Series I can remember are 77-78, where they met back to back years, and you know, right. Reggie became Mr. October. That was really, and baseball was in a lot better shape in those days than it is now.
Yeah, what's weird is I look at the Yankees now, and I have to remind myself, I remember when they were at an absolute dumpster fire. During the 80s, they had this dip in which they were dog shit. And I don't ever see the Yankees now, no matter what they do, going back to being nearly as bad as they were during that down period.
The best thing that ever happened to the Yankees was George Steinbrenner was suspended for 2 years. And because he was not able to trade away prospects like, I don't know, Jeter, Mariano Rivera, and others.
Right.
And that's when the organization was rebuilt. I was working for something called Sports News Network in those days. So I actually covered the suspension of George Steinbrenner. I was there when Faye Vincent announced it and everybody surrounded George as he left and all that. And what happened was, because he couldn't meddle, Gene Michael was able to run the organization like it should have been run. The prospects developed, and you know, they got into the 90s, and they became a team where they went 4 World Series, 4 out of 5 years, something like that, right?
Yeah, the Yankees lived 4 years in a row underwater,
mm-hmm.
from 89 through 92.
Yep.
They won 74, 67, 71, and 76 games for a 4-year stretch and finished
Stump
no better
Merrill.
Than fourth in their division.
Stump Merrill was the manager. Do you think George Steinbrenner would have ever hired somebody named Stump Merrill? No. But they knew they were going to suck,
yeah.
And they needed somebody named Stump to take it up the rear end for that team, and that's what he did.
Yeah, the Guardians are a great story, and Stephen Vogt, their manager, playing their style of baseball, exciting brand of baseball, had to rely on their bullpen way too much. Clase, their world-class closer in the regular season, was a fucking disaster in the postseason for reasons nobody knows. It's sports, right? Mm-hmm. Why was the guy unhittable in the regular season? Couldn't get anybody out in October. Don't know. Fucking
Don't
sports.
Know.
It's frustrating. Mm-hmm. A lot of great, entertaining games. I enjoyed that series, even though the Yankees won. And so now we'll see what the Dodgers do out there in L.A. Probably going to win tonight. Probably. Right?
Probably.
Okay.
I think so.
The Texas-Georgia game was something to see on Saturday night. Number 1 Texas against number 5 Georgia, the first real test for Texas in the deep end of the SEC pool. And some were saying, well, wait till you get a taste of the real strong stuff, the strong liquor down there in the SEC, the Georgias, the Alabamas, etc. And Georgia came in and punched him in the face. And it looked like it was going to be a complete slaughter. And then the second half started. They had a good drive, Texas did, to score a touchdown. And then the play that left me gobsmacked. In all my years, I've never seen this happen. I think many others have never seen it happen either. A pass interference call negates an interception for Texas. It was probably the wrong call. Two guys fighting for it. It happens. You're not allowed to review PI under the college replay system. And so the fans, the students, started peppering the field with bottles, water bottles mostly, in the south end zone. And it stops the game. And they got to go over there, and Sarkisian is waving his arms going, hey, calm down, we got to pick everything up, you know. And after the ball had been spotted for Georgia on the negated penalty, the referee gets on the mic and says, after review, the play was not pass interference. There is no penalty. The ball will be given to Texas at this yard line. Crowd erupts, and I said, what? That you cannot do that. Were you as gobsmacked as I was that they allowed that to happen?
Well, truth be told, I didn't see it as it happened. I did
Fair enough.
The coverage. And I also saw Kirby Smart say something, which I guess he assumes he's going to be fined for.
But well, I don't think he's going to be fined. He said, look, this sets a terrible precedent. It tells fan bases, hey, if you don't like a call, start throwing shit on the field, stop the game. Who knows? Maybe the refs will just change their minds.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand in the NFL, if you have a call that goes against you, you can call a timeout and get them possibly to change it. You know what I mean?
But like you can't with PI. You can't have flags picked up on this. Like, and this, again, is the Satan spawn of replay. Even though replay was technically not involved, it comes from the notion of, well, we got to get the calls right. The calls have to be right. No, they don't have to be right. The calls have to be made the best way they can be made in an immediate and final fashion. You cannot have the notion that somebody's fingers are in the fucking pie somewhere in some TV studio, either in the stadium or back in another city, controlling things. This is not sports. It's not, Andy. It's not.
It's the sports. It's not the sports that we grew up with, but it's the sports that Gen X has grown up with.
It's not sports.
Right. But for you and I mean, it drives me crazy when you see when they're waiting on the replay call and you watch the Zapruder film as they go back and forth. Well, his knee might have been down here and he might have been losing control of the ball. And yeah, but that's the sports that the way it works now. And then the post Jeffrey Mayer world, there's no way they're going back. No way. It's not going to happen.
Well, they need to at least trim the edges of it because there's mission creep to the point where the NFL is what they call expedited review, where they'll just look at something and fix it if they can without any team having a challenge.
Right, but you still have interminable delays on some of these replays.
But the point is, we're so far down the road on what are we doing, how are we doing it, what are the boundaries, what are the rules, where's the instruction manual for this stuff? This is not sport. Sport is a game. It's to divert our attention. It's to entertain us. Nobody lives or dies based on the outcomes.
Well, yeah. Well,
and don't play the money game. Oh, there's a lot of money bet on these games. Who fucking cares? People win money from bad calls that go their way. It all evens out in the end.
There's two things that have been eliminated, which were a really big deal in the 70s and the 80s. Tennis players like McEnroe and Connors arguing with the chair umpire. That's totally gone away now. And managers arguing with the umpire. That's gone. You know, Earl Weaver turning his hat around. Tommy Lasorda, throwing down dirt. That's all gone. And you can say that's good or you can say it's bad, but it's gone.
I actually did see an argument with a chair umpire in tennis recently. And I don't know what it was about. They find ways to get mad at the tennis umpires, even though they're using
the
Cyclops
calls,
now.
John McEnroe became John McEnroe arguing line calls.
right. How could you miss that? The chalk flew up.
Yeah, right.
You're the pits of the earth is what I believe he said.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Anyway, and there's another play in which it looked like ATN got in. To me, clearly his knee was off the ground as he stretched out. The ball was across. I saw it on the first replay. I'm like, yeah, he's in. Look, right there. Knee was up. Ball was over. Touchdown. They, of course, then have to play it for 5 fucking minutes. And they find interminable. And they come back and they go, not enough evidence. Call stands. Mm-hmm. I'm just like this. People want replay and they like replay despite all of this. I hate you people. I hate that this exists. I wish that I didn't have to share a sports world with you because you fucking ruined it. Okay.
But you can still get yourself worked up into a lather.
I really can because it's such dog shit. Let's talk Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett quits suddenly, retires at Virginia after signing an extension. Earlier in the summer, he said that the college landscape is not in a healthy place and that he just was not built for the job that it has now become. Many people are saying, good, he's at least speaking up for a broken system. Others are saying, oh, now that you got your money and you got your extension and you can hand this off to your assistants because it's too late in the cycle to really hire somebody new, it's pretty easy for you to take this high moral stand. Where do you fall on Tony Bennett's description of why he's out in college basketball?
First of all, he didn't really sign an extension. It has an automatic rollover, which he agreed to. And that's basically for recruiting purposes. So he was under contract through 2030.
Okay.
The other thing is when he signed his big extension, which was several years ago, most of it was to give his assistants more money. And so I do think he's a good man. I do think he stands on principle. The timing is very bizarre, but this happens all the time in college basketball. I think Dean Smith retired not too much earlier in the process, and he wanted to give it to Bill Guthridge, his loyal assistant, for a long time. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. John Thompson retired in the middle of the season for a variety of reasons, but Craig Ezrick, his longtime assistant, got the job. You know, Bobby Knight did this so his son could take over. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I think also what he's saying is this doesn't work for the way I coached. He had fifth-year seniors. He stressed defense, you know, so he didn't want to recruit his players every day, which is what you have to do. And he said, we're going to have a system where there's actual salaries, there's a collective bargaining agreement, there's a union, all that stuff. Because right now it's just phony baloney nonsense about name, image, and likeness. You don't even see commercials with these guys. It's just a big pile of money. And here, on top of everything else, you talked about dealing with the agents. You know what agents do? They do contracts. There are no contracts. You can't have a contract. So how can you have an agent? But they do. And if you tell this agent, screw you, I'm not dealing with you. Fine, I'm taking my guy to North Carolina, and he's gonna dunk on you and score 50 points. You know, that's the way it works.
Yep, there are guys that say, well, that's fine. There's plenty of guys that would love to have that job, and they're gonna find somebody to fill it. So if Tony Bennett's got all the money he needs, devastatingly handsome, he can retire at 55 to go to Boca del Vista. That's on him. The world will move on. And my response to that is, yeah, but you're going to be constantly swapping out at least decent coaches with some shred of integrity or more with a bunch of hustlers, with a bunch of grifters. And so what is going to become of the college game is that it's going to look a lot like AAU. And AAU is widely considered by anyone in basketball to be a completely dysfunctional cesspool of a system. So you're going to get that. You're going to have people that take over, but they're going to be hustlers and grifters who last 1-2 years and they're gone as well. It's going to suck. The whole product is going to be unraveled like a ball of yarn, because we got to pay the players.
Except for college football games are great now. So that's
are they? There was three guys kicked out for targeting in that Georgia-Texas game, which you could call on almost any play, by the way, in which helmets clash against each other. We had the egregious penalty reversal. It took almost 4 hours. I mean, I like the college pageantry. The product, though, is oftentimes not great.
But we got a lot of exciting games. And, you know, when I sit down to watch a game, I'm not necessarily thinking about how the sausage was made.
So you think the net of this new world, NIL world, is not going to have a negative product quality effect on college hoops?
No, I'm saying right now it doesn't. It's not sustainable, which is why you're going to have players signed to 2-year contracts. And if they want to leave, there's a buyout in it, just like a coach. And with the 2-year contract, you can take a player who you don't like and you can say, okay, you're not good enough. The contract's not going to be renewed. It's going to work just like professional sports. That's how it's going to work.
Well, then we're going to have a shitty minor league sports system with logos of colleges slapped on it. And it's going to look and perform, and people are going to care less and less and less.
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to care less. No,
really?
You see those stadiums packed in the SEC. You're going to tell me Alabama fans are not going to care? I don't think so.
Not right away. You know how things fall apart, Andy? Slowly at first, and then all of a sudden at the end.
Okay. Well, I'm 66, and I plan to live a long time.
I'm 66. I got another good 30 years ahead of me. I still think I'll be alive to see it thriving. You're probably right.
I'm not anticipating sitting there at 95 saying, oh, God, this sucks. I remember when this was really good.
Well, like I played golf with my good friend Ron Thomas, who has deep ties to the University of Maryland. He was back at the Terrapins golf team reunion weekend this weekend. He got to see his former coach, Fred Funk, who made the PGA Tour, won 8 times on tour, including the Players' Championship, the most lucrative regular tour event, at least at the time, in 2005. And he was talking to me while we were playing golf about how he knew a guy that was like sort of the head, I don't know what, rainmaker for a D1 program that would call on donors and whatnot.
Collective guy,
he was like a collective money hunter, and he said he recently quit. And I said, why? He goes, my buddy told me he couldn't even pick up the phone anymore because he couldn't bring himself to keep asking the same 24 people to pay more money now for this when they've already paid a lot of money for the stadium and for the coach that they had to bring in, the buyout they had to do. He said he physically couldn't pick up the phone to make that call anymore. And I'm like, well, that's going to repeat itself. These donors are going to tap out and go, I'm not giving another cent. This is bonkers.
How'd you like to be at USC and the team just lost at Maryland and is now 3-4 and you got to come up with money for Lincoln Riley's contract next year? How about that? Yeah.
USC, but, you know, USC has now lost 4 times when leading in the second half, or maybe even the fourth quarter. Yeah. They've lost on the road at both Maryland and Minnesota. The memes of USC destroyed the Pac-12 conference just for this. Thanks for nothing.
Did you see our boy Colin Cowherd with his Instagram post at the half? When Penn State was losing to USC?
Absolutely the worst. Yeah.
What a schmuck.
But here's the thing. Like, I don't think that goes off his back like water off a duck.
Don't
you think?
Well, he's in the Francesa group where they never admit to being wrong about anything. So if you don't, then, you know, that's just another statement that just, washes ashore.
Yeah. One last thing. It looks like perhaps Deshaun Watson has ended his NFL career. He blew out his Achilles today at home. And, you know, those are usually full 12-month recoveries. He wouldn't be ready to play again until middle of next season. They definitely want to move on from him and that contract any way possible. They'd love to get some sort of injury settlement, although I'm not sure how easy that's going to be. But he was, of course, cheered when he finally went down with an injury, and that provided the opportunity for the likes of Jameis Winston to then cut a promo in the locker room saying, essentially, how dare you? How dare you? Same thing for Myles Garrett and other guys. I just need to say this. Hey, Jameis, maybe I don't need to be lectured about, you know, the impropriety of a guy who is a serial sexual assaulter from another backup sexual assaulter because he got booed. Yeah, guys get booed. They sometimes get booed when they shouldn't get booed, like when they get hurt and their season is over. If that's the worst that's going to happen to Deshaun Watson, he'll fucking live. Now, would you please get off your goddamn soapbox, because I don't give a shit. Ended.
You shouldn't cheer an injury, but also, it's a hard thing to defend Deshaun Watson.
Of course. And Myles Garrett, who smashed a guy's head in with his helmet or nearly killed him. Could have killed him. Like, Mason Rudolph, too. You too. Sit this one out, you dick. Myles Garrett said he's been a model citizen in college and for the most part in the pros.
No, he hasn't.
For the most part.
It's like when Shaq used to actually joke about it. People thought he was serious. He says, I've been a winner everywhere but college and the pros. You know?
Right, exactly. Somebody said that word most is doing a lot of work in that statement right there. He's been a model citizen for most of his career. Yeah.
You know, this happened to Dan Pastorini, too. Dan Pastorini was quarterbacking the Raiders, broke his leg. The fans cheered when they carted him off the field. And it turned out to be the best thing for the Raiders because Jim Plunkett came in and led them to the Super Bowl.
A lot of things that aren't right in sports, and I just think I went through about five or six of them. But you know what? It's still goddamn amazing theater, nonetheless.
It is. And it gets you into such a lather.
It
you
does.
You can't say you don't care.
I know, right. No, you're right. I do care.
Your point is, people are going to stop caring. You haven't stopped caring.
No.
You're still worked up about this.
I felt somewhat heartbroken by proxy for Cleveland Guardians fans because they had played the Yankees so tough. And it could have gone one way or the other. And, you know, when you got a guy named Janeski Noel, a.k.a. Big Christmas, what a fucking nickname. That's the greatest nickname I've ever heard.
Well, I mean,
Big Christmas.
That home run that he hit when he walked up and he just
fucking
hit it.
Amazing.
Like,
yes.
It was like, you know, some kids are playing stickball. Say, here, give me that bat, kid. Boom. You know?
Exactly. All right, Andy, next couple of weeks are going to be interesting. The Bear game, which we hope will have Jaden Daniels available because that's the whole hook of the game. Number one pick versus the number 1/2 pick at quarterback. Both guys are playing very well. It's been flexed to a late start, and you're going to the game, correct?
Yes, I am, and I feel bad for my cousins, Howard Berger, who's coming in from Chicago.
Howard.
They have a flight that leaves at 10:15 at night, and it's going to be a race from a 7:30 finish to get them to the airport in time, but we'll see.
Once again, Roger Goodell doesn't give a fuck about Howard Berger and his flights, because they'll change these time of these games like it's nothing.
A 41-year season ticket holder who paid to go see his team play in London, and they don't care.
No.
Too bad.
Right. They'll play when we tell them to play, and you'll
like it.
Or you can sell your ticket for a fraction of the cost on the NFL's official ticket exchange.
We're making it available to young people who don't know that there's actually television, and we're streaming it for them to make it easy for them.
Oh, God. The Jaguars destroyed the Patriots in London to close out the London series, and all they could do is gush about how those Brits love to sing John Denver's
Country Roads.
Yeah, right. They don't know anything about West Virginia or Country Roads. They love that fucking song over there.
Yeah, they do.
All right, no score, Dodgers, Mets, but Mets are threatening here. Top of the first with a runner on third. Updates no longer available because tonight's podcast is over. Thank you very much for downloading. And then the week after that, Andy, you're going to your son's celebratory wedding, even though they're already legally married, and it's
correct.
In Cabo.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. I want pics. Send pics, please.
You got it.
I want to see shirtless Andy on the beach living his best fucking life. Let's go.
I don't know about shirtless, but definitely on the beach.
Tank top, sun's out, guns out.
Yeah,
pina colada in hand. I know you don't drink, but come on now.
Yeah, I do. I do. I do drink. Yeah. I'm margarita more like. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
We'll talk next week. Thank you, bud. See you.
All right, take care.
They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamond South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a 5-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.